Get out of my pub.
Get out of my pub right now!
I'm not going anywhere.
Hello and welcome to Get Out of My Pod. I'm Nav.
I'm Una.
How's it going?
Pretty good. Yeah. I've just watched all of EastEnders for the week, so I'm raring to go.
I love that you're a EastEnders binge watcher.
Yeah, I'm a total binge watcher. I don't really want to be a binge watcher, but I don't have a TV, so like I kind of do all my work on my laptop all day and then I just don't really want to look at my laptop anymore.
So no, that's fair.
I have to wait until Saturday.
I'm like kind of working class with money, so I have like a TV in every room.
Yeah, that's what it's called. That's, yeah, working class with money, that's a thing.
Is that insulting? I feel like that's my vibe. I embrace it though.
Yeah, I mean, I would be fully up for that. Unfortunately, I'm middle class without money, so I can't do that.
Well, okay, that is a shame. Do you know what I was going to ask though? With you binge watching,
yeah.
Do you think it would become more of a chore if they went back to half an hour episodes?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because the thing is, when you watch it all in one go and it's like 20, 25 minutes for each one, it's kind of like, it's like a reasonable film length.
Right.
It's very, very watchable. So.
Right.
I quite like it, really. I don't know. You're a daily watcher, so what does it feel like to only have those like 20 minutes?
I'm used to it now. It was quite noticeable, like when they kind of first went down to those 20 minutes, and maybe because they didn't really know how to pace it. But I would not like them to go back to half an hour episodes.
God, it would feel so long. I think also just like my attention span during the pandemic has just reduced like so much. Partly through just the like lack of brain power, because so much of my mind is taken up with like being stressed about the world, but also right. Because I downloaded TikTok, so I've got no patience for anything whatsoever anymore. Like if it doesn't fit in 1 minute, I'm like, I don't care about what you're trying to tell me.
Yeah, well, I mean, I'm worried now for the future of the podcast if EastEnders goes back to half an hour episodes.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll be able to focus for that long.
Maybe we can do like little TikToks each day instead of a podcast.
Yeah, if you break it down into like 20 TikToks, that'd be fine. Like I'd watch that easily in one sitting.
That's it. This is the solution. TikTok, Get Out of My Pod, coming soon, listeners.
Can't wait.
Wah, wah, wah. By the way, actually, I was going to say, so we moved to a new podcast host and I was very worried about losing listeners, but we've had one of our best ever weeks.
Oh my God. Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know what that means about the technology, but thank you for listening, everyone.
Yeah. I think also maybe we've got some new listeners. In fact, you know what I want to do? I want to do a little shout out of the countries that we have listeners from, because I was a little bit like, okay, we got some big international listenership going on here. Because we kind of know and we're really grateful for our American listeners, obviously very grateful for our British listeners, but get this, Una, get this, listen to this.
Yeah.
Okay, so we've got 4% of our listenership is in Australia.
No way.
So hello, Australian listeners.
Hey.
Was that an Aussie accent?
Not deliberately.
and then, this is all now small numbers, but then we had Ireland, Canada, Pakistan, nice. Sweden, nice. Japan, and the Netherlands.
Wow, that's incredible. Wow, if you're from any of those countries where you don't actually have EastEnders, which I think is all every country that isn't the UK,
right,
please get in touch and tell us like how you became an EastEnders fan.
We'd love that.
Because we did get someone get in touch from the US who was like listening to the podcast and is a massive EastEnders fan, and I guess I kind of assumed that like all the people in different countries are British people who have moved away and have like continued watching EastEnders, but this person from America like had just somehow like gotten into EastEnders in America.
I think they have BBC have international channels.
Wow.
So I think there's a BBC America and there's like a BBC Worldwide, like an entertainment thing, like where they stick. They're like a few months out of date and stuff like that. Or maybe these. And also, you know, they've got BritBox now as well.
Oh, okay. See, I don't have a TV, so I don't know about all of these things.
Yeah, my American mate, he subscribes to BritBox. and they get EastEnders the same time as us.
Wow. Lucky them.
Yeah. Lucky them indeed. So, yeah, so write in, international listeners. We'd love to hear from you. But shall we actually get on to some EastEnders news?
Yes, let's do it. So, one bit of news, which, again, is old news that we didn't pick up on, which seems to be a theme for us. So, one of our listeners, Kylie, who always has her finger on the pulse for EastEnders things, tweeted us to say that Davood Ghadami was actually axed. So, we were wondering about this last week, whether we were like, was Kush actually gotten rid of, or has he left of his own accord? He was axed.
Shameful behavior, absolutely shameful behavior. Yeah, thanks for letting us know, Kylie. And we were kind of then speculating as to how he's going to end up leaving.
I know. Well, you said they might kill him off.
I think this has got to be it, right? Like, it's, yeah, I don't know. Like, there's no links for Kush, like, left on the square, right?
I mean, not unless they're planning for him to, like, come back for Whitney in literally in 5 years' time.
Which would be a terrible storyline.
It would be a terrible storyline. It would make no sense. Yeah, that would be the only way they could get him back. Like, I just don't think, unless they somehow continue to reference, like, Martin's friendship with him or something. But, yeah, I think it's such a bad decision as well. Like, because he was kind of dormant as a character for quite a while. Like, there was not much going on with him. And I don't know, I sort of forgot about him for a bit. And then now, because they're obviously building up towards him leaving, they've had to give him some storylines. And it just, like, proves, A, what a great actor he is, and, like, B, what a great character, and, like, how much potential they've got there. Like, rebuilding his friendship with Martin, and then, like, having this lovely relationship with Whitney. It's just, like, could see him being on the square for such a long time.
Yeah, exactly. You've got to wonder the rationale behind, like, axing him, because, as you say, this little bit of effort they've put in, like, with a view to him leaving, but nonetheless some effort to actually give him some storylines, you're a bit like, well, yeah, why not have put in that effort but not made him leave?
Exactly, yeah.
Disgraceful behaviour.
And, like, where are they going to find someone that fit to, like, take over the role of fittest person on the square?
Well, there's going to be a lot of fitties now that Sharon's opened this gym.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I mean, she's taken over ownership. The gym was already there, right?
This new building that has turned up in EastEnders, and we're all supposed to, like, accept.
Well, on the topic of new buildings turning up on EastEnders.
Oh, yeah. You've got some set news for me.
Yeah. Well, they must have done a little press release about it. There was some kind of updates on the new EastEnders set. I think we're still, like, a couple of years out from it being finished. But there was some, like, overhead shots in this article on wolfordnews.com of what the set is going to look like. And the big news that I took from it was that they are planning for some of the houses to have gardens in the new set.
Shut up.
So, hopefully, I mean, it sounded a bit tentative, but I think the idea is that hopefully they'll be able to, like, film scenes outside in the gardens.
Do you know what? Never occurred to me how weird that is.
Yeah. I've literally never considered that anyone on the square might have a garden.
That's so ridiculous. Like, just never, ever. I'm genuinely just in shock at, like, I've just never noticed. I can't think, I mean, I'm racking my brain. I can't think of a single time I've seen a garden.
No, me neither. But, like, it's weird that we've never thought about it, really, because all the houses are, like, these terraced houses. Obviously, like, you see them in London, and generally they tend to have gardens. Like, often they're split into, like, five different flats, and only the bottom floor would have the gardens. But, like, yeah, normally houses like that would have gardens.
Yeah, I mean, thinking about it, there's, like, a couple of houses with kind of, like, little backyards. So, like, you know, sometimes people, well, actually a few houses like that. So sometimes people go in the back way to the Beals, to the Mitchells.
Yeah.
But yeah, as you say, no gardens, or none of them have made an effort to, like, put some greenery in those spaces either.
No, gardening just, like, not a part of life in Wolford.
Absurd.
So absurd. Very exciting. In a couple of years' time, we could see people on the square in their gardens.
That's true. The only thing I would say, though, is that, you know, living in London, if they go from nobody has a garden to people having big ass gardens, I'd be a bit like, I don't know, this is not London life.
I would be more convinced if it was, like, the rich people living on the ground floor, like, using their garden, and then, like, everyone on the upper floors, like getting annoyed about being cooped up in their flats and like one person having a garden.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like a storyline. If, you know, Bronson was still around, like Bronson wanting to take a shit in the garden and, you know, Jack being like, no, that's part of the tenancy rules. You can't shit in the garden.
Yeah. So, do you think one day Jack's just going to own like every house on the square?
Yeah. And we're going to totally accept it as normal and not have noticed how he built his empire.
And he'll still be like a character with morals, apparently.
Yeah. It won't be acceptable. Won't be acceptable. But yeah, I don't think, you know, sadly, listeners, we don't have any baby news.
Our baby news segment has finally run its course and there's no baby news this week. I mean, what do we have, like 4 weeks straight or something of constant EastEnders baby news?
Yeah, and sometimes like double news as well, like not really just impressive. One baby, two babies to talk about. Real like
fertile cast.
You know, I'm not going to lie, Una, I am literally I've just Googled EastEnders baby news just in case.
I did that, don't worry. I Googled EastEnders baby and EastEnders pregnant. Nothing came up apart from things we already know.
Okay, yeah. There's lots of... Oh, the press is so weird. Like, EastEnders, this is OK Magazine. EastEnders star Louisa Litton glows as she shows off blossoming baby bump in floral maxi dress. I'm like, leave the woman alone, for God's sake.
Why can't people just live their lives? I mean, at least they said something nice. But yeah, it must be wild, like, going through pregnancy with like the press taking photos of you and commenting on your body.
Very strange people. Anyway, right. We're not strange. We're commenting on fictional shows and being very nice about people, just in case people confuse it.
Totally normal behavior.
We are good people.
Well, should we move to our predictions?
Let us do it.
I think you should go first because yours was quite good.
Are you sure you don't want to get yours out of the way?
Well, maybe I should get mine out of the way.
Go on.
My prediction was that Jean will become a detective and start to figure out that Gray is a double murderer.
Yeah, do you think Jean's in the kind of place where that's going to happen?
Well, as you suggested last week, she seemed a bit preoccupied with her daughter going to prison. So she didn't have time this week, but maybe next week.
True. Once the kind of dust settles.
She's got nothing to do now because all of her kids have moved out. So,
right. You know, she knows she's on borrowed time.
Yeah.
All of her kids have disappeared and grandkids have disappeared. She might as well solve the mystery of Chantal's death.
Might as well. So I think that still could happen, maybe.
Yeah. All right. Let's move swiftly on.
Tell us about your prediction now.
Mine? Do you know what? Like, I'm pretty proud of mine because I felt like at the time it was quite half-assed. And it kind of did happen. Like, so it was basically that Stacey would go to prison. Okay, yes. That's not breaking news. But also that as a kind of parting shot, she would leave Martin with some further doubts as to whether Ruby is telling the truth.
Which she did. And she opted not for the planting the seeds of your wife funded the kidnapping of your son.
Right.
Which she could have gone for. She opted for the, I didn't do it line.
Yeah, exactly. Do you know what I found quite interesting about this week? And we're going to get into, should we just get into the episode?
Yeah, let's do it.
Let's do it. Because we said we were going to start with the Slaters. And I think what I found most interesting is that in a lot of respects, I was a little bit surprised at how little fight Stacey was putting up, particularly because she didn't do it.
Yeah.
But what I found compensated for that massively was obviously Lily basically being like, why is nobody doing anything?
Yeah, I loved Lily this week.
Yeah, she was incredible. Like, and she's kind of turning into somebody who I'm hoping will be around for a very long time.
Totally. And I think like as Stacey kind of settles and gets a bit older and a bit more sensible and perhaps a bit more resigned as someone who has like experience. Well, disadvantage is cumulative, right? The more disadvantage you experience in your life, the more disadvantage you are likely to experience. And so she's kind of in a place where she's like, well, yeah, these things happen to me and I just have to like get on with my life. Whereas like Lily's becoming this like fiery little mini Stacey and I love it.
Yeah, exactly. And it would have been a shame to have kind of seen Stacey go on that journey. And as you say, like understandable in many respects, but to not have that kind of replaced by somebody who, you know, I don't want to say is exactly the same as Stacey when Stacey first arrived on the square, but as you say, just has that kind of youthful desire to be like, you know, to fight, to like, you know, to correct like wrongs, all of that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And I actually like really enjoyed particularly the scenes with Jean and Lily and like how emotional they were. And like, you know, Jean obviously is this kind of like sensible grandmother now, but you can see elements of like what her relationship with Stacey used to be like. It's like actually quite like heated at times.
Yeah, exactly. And also kind of Lily not, you know, Lily obviously loves Jean, but like, yeah, maybe doesn't fully understand Jean in the way that Stacey does these days.
Yeah.
Like Stacey obviously understands Jean now, but I imagine when Stacey was younger, like you just don't really understand maybe why she has certain behavior and the rest of it.
Yeah, yeah, definitely. I think we're shaping up for like a Lily versus Ruby match, which I'm quite excited about.
Yeah, and Lily's going to wipe the floor with Ruby.
Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely.
The scene, you know, that we're kind of alluding to is Lily basically manipulating the situation so that the kids move in with Martin. And I say manipulating loosely because that's her dad.
Yeah.
Their dad's partner has wrongfully put their mum in jail. So, you know, fair enough.
Yeah.
But obviously that's what Lily did. And we also got a scene earlier in the week of Ruby. Well, that day, in fact. And again, it's, you know, the EastEnders are doing this thing where they're like fucking over Ruby, because that scene where like Ruby manipulated Martin into like going out on a lunch date, basically it was Ruby celebrating Stacey going to prison.
Yeah. I still, like, I know I say this every week, but I hate the Ruby storyline. I hate what they've done to her character. I'm really upset about it. I also thought, like, to be honest, I thought it was like quite gross that
right.
they had Ruby like using her miscarriage to like make Martin go out on that
right.
lunch. I just think
right.
they have handled this whole storyline so badly. Like, it never should have happened.
Yeah, it's really, really disgusting. And you know, you would hope that people don't watch EastEnders and they go from being like a reasonable person to going like, maybe my wife is manipulating me, or maybe every woman I know is like secretly trying to do this, that and whatever. So, you know, I'm not going to put too much responsibility onto EastEnders, but to play into like some of the kind of worst things that certain men think about women is, as you say, super gross.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, attitudes like this are out there, and like tropes like that are out there, and there's already stuff that like women have to deal with, and particularly women who have experienced things like miscarriages or who might be experiencing endometriosis. Like, they already have to deal with that, so like it would be great not to also have that reflected in like uncritically reflected in a soap in one of the most popular TV shows in the country.
And that's the weird thing, right? Is that like, yes, Stacey went to prison, and you can maybe say, okay, maybe Ruby got a tiny amount of satisfaction from that. But like the way they presented it was as if like, you know, the grief that she had from finding out about her condition, the grief that she had from having a miscarriage was entirely dissipated, was entirely kind of, you know, salved from Stacey going to prison. It's a bit like, no,
like, that's how it works. Now you send someone to prison, then yeah, all of the damage is reversed and you feel fine.
Really, really fucked up.
Yeah, so frustrating. And it's, yeah, it's annoying that like there's this like element of the storyline that's really terrible among something like with so many good actors that could be really good. I really enjoyed, on that note, seeing the scene with the couple of scenes with Will and Lily.
Yeah, and we talked about it last week, right? Like our hope of seeing more scenes amongst the kind of youngsters. I sound like
yeah.
an old man now, but you know, that's what I'm going to say. And I don't know if we're just really great at like seeing stuff that's coming like on the horizon, but that was great, as you say.
Yeah, it was so great. And I think they picked kind of like the two strongest actors out of the kids to like, yeah, get into a bit more depth there. And I hope they continue that.
Yeah, also, did you know that Will had done, like, modelling jobs?
Yeah, don't you remember? When he was really
no.
little. Cause, yeah, because they moved to Canada for Will's modelling career.
Wow, that is some knowledge. I did not remember that.
I can't remember. I mean, it was when he was quite little, so it was a long time ago. But it was Honey left for like quite a while, and that was the story that they used. They'd gone to Canada. So yeah, it's in the family.
Fair enough, yeah. Fair enough. Well, well done, Will. And as you say, in the family, Janet has got her first job as well.
Congratulations, Janet. Yeah, I hope we get to see a little bit of like how that goes.
Yeah, that was a really cute scene as well when she was like, did I get it? And they did the little party and stuff like that. So yeah, a lot of really great youngsters on the square. And hopefully once all this COVID stuff lifts, they can get them together more often.
Totally. How did you feel about now that we're talking about the kind of Honey, Billy, Jay situation? How did you feel about the scenes with those three this week? There weren't many, a few.
I think they're kind of, you know, settling into like a family, a weird family. And I don't mean weird because I think there's anything wrong between Jay with Jay's relationship with Honey.
Yeah.
But obviously it is weird for Billy. And I think he's all right. He's right to feel like it's a bit weird. And I'm not going to hold that against him. But it is settling into a kind of family dynamic, right?
Yeah. I feel like it is. Like, it'll be interesting to see where that goes. And it was, like, definitely a lot more enjoyable to see them in this situation of, like, Billy just sort of having digs. Like, I feel like quite reasonable digs at Jay, really, like, compared to his initial reaction.
And I think Jay kind of absorbs it, right? Because, you know, he's ultimately with Honey, so he's...
kind of won, hasn't he?
He's won, right? Yeah. So you'd have to be a dick to, like... You know, there was a point at which when Billy was being unreasonable... But then obviously there's a certain threshold that you just have to accept, right?
Yeah.
That's, you know, it's hard for Billy.
It is hard for Billy. Yeah. He's doing much better than he was.
He is.
Right. So what else happened this week? We saw some more of Gray and Whitney. Unfortunately, their friendship is not over.
No, it's not over. But I don't know. It feels like it's heading to quite a sinister place.
Yeah, I don't like it. Don't like it. It was really, really hard to watch the like lawyer event that they went to.
Yeah, and like him giving her Chantel's dress. Like, I'm obviously keeping people's clothes and like not recycling them or giving them to charity. I also think it's a bit weird. But you know, you only killed her 3 months ago. Like,
yeah, chill out a little bit. Also, like, obviously, I don't think we should ever like put too much emphasis on what women wear and what that means. But I do feel like Whitney didn't need to dress up like quite to that extent for this event.
As in,
like,
well, yeah, okay, go on.
She looked absolutely incredible, obviously. Yeah. And like, yeah, I just think,
can you overdress?
I mean, maybe you can't overdress at all, and maybe you can't overdress for like a law event, but I just feel like, you know, when you put in like really a lot of effort into how you look, it can like that's...
It can stand out.
It can stand out, yeah. And it's like, she already felt uncomfortable about like going on that evening with Gray, and it's just like, maybe just like chill a little bit about the whole thing. Like, maybe just don't feed into this like whole like weird fantasy that he's got about it. Obviously, people can wear exactly what they want. Like, no blame on Whitney for anything that like Gray would ever do. But I was like, maybe just don't like fully go for it.
Yeah, I know what you mean. And it also came after him being like shouting at them, right? So, you know, maybe don't fully buy into or kind of fully commit to this thing. The one thing I will say, and it's not a defense as such, but it has made me think that actually EastEnders, like particularly at the moment, aren't able to do like kind of lavish on location filming. Mm. And I guess maybe this was their attempt to do it, but realizing that they're just going to have to use Ruby's as the set because they can't go anywhere. And maybe they don't have the money to go anywhere. So maybe the idea is that the event was supposed to be something more than they were able to film, because, you know, they were queuing outside Ruby's, which is a scene that we see, like, you know, it's 10 a penny.
Yeah.
So again, it does seem a bit weird to be a bit like, you're just going to...
Yeah, because I guess them like both being that dressed up wouldn't have been so weird if they'd been somewhere like really fancy.
Right, really palatial and stuff. And then there's another part of me that goes like, well, maybe it's also because Whitney doesn't get to do stuff like that.
Maybe she's been locked down for a year. And
well, but also just in general, maybe it's a kind of like, you know, a kind of nod to like a kind of class thing of like, you know, you don't get to, you just, you sometimes you just don't get to go to fancy stuff, right? And also, I even think like when I, you know, was a bit younger as well, and you get your first invitation to something a bit fancy, you're a bit like, I don't know exactly how to dress, or like even you get a bit worried about even like where the cutlery is going to be, right?
Yeah. On the flip side of it, like I do like that they have this thing where like Whitney's into fashion. She's really good at fashion. I like when they kind of like honor that and they give her a chance to like really express that. I just wish that it could be within a storyline that doesn't involve an abusive man.
Well, good news is that she was very appropriately dressed for the lovely moment of the engagement later that night.
Oh, do you know what? Like, it is a little bit ridiculous that they're getting engaged at this point, but I kind of love it.
Yeah, so do I. I was really into it. Like, you know, you've always got this kind of nagging thing in the back of your head of going like, why can't you do this and not have Dawood be leaving?
Yeah.
But also, it was really lovely, yeah.
Yeah, it was so nice. Yeah, I guess there was that thing in the back of my head of like, Whitney's going to be heartbroken again. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was very romantic. And it was very nice that like she did it as well. Like it was a real signal of like Whitney's at this place where she's been able to move on, like particularly from the last marriage.
Yeah, exactly right.
Yeah.
But we kind of suggested that, well, we've already talked about it, is that there's a decent chance that Kush is going to die, right?
God, I don't even want to think about it. What if Kush dies before Gray's even found out?
Yeah, I mean, it's a decent possibility. I mean, you know, they've done that with Tina already. And I just think as well, like, it's going to be awful for Whitney as well. Like, there's one thing about, like, you know, her getting engaged, but in the full knowledge that he's, you know, he might be going to prison. And look, we don't know that that's how he's leaving, but I would find it odd if he didn't leave like that, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I do sort of know what you mean. I hadn't thought of it at all, but now that you're saying it. Do you think that, do you think Gray might kill Kush?
Shit. Oh, yeah, yes, I do now. Yeah.
I don't want them to do that.
Well, I think what they've done with Gray, after starting out with a domestic violence storyline, they're basically doing, like, a serial killer storyline now, right, aren't they?
Yeah, but when's it gonna end? I don't want a year of this. I really don't.
I think you're right to point to like Kush and Whitney and Gray being part of the storyline that you know reveals what you know Gray has been doing. And I think because it's those three, I think it will come to an end soon. Like we know that Dawood has finished filming. And I think that was like revealed like a while ago now. So I think within the next month,
yeah,
I think it's all going to come to a head.
I hope so. Like I was actually thinking about this week that like, you know, I remember recording the episode after Chantal was killed. And I remember saying like with quite certainly that like, oh, that obviously they'll get rid of Gray in the next few weeks. Like he'll go to prison or he'll die or like something will happen to get rid of him. Like it'll be so irresponsible of them to keep him on the square. And like, what, like how far down the line are we? Like 8 months or something?
Right.
I mean, yeah, I didn't think that this would happen.
I mean, it's weird, right? Because I think I was in the same place as you. And, you know, there's been moments in the last few months where it's a bit like, oh, you know what? Having Gray around has been useful for this storyline or has been interesting to see in this regard. But as you say, ultimately, like, you know, those, you know, reasons for him to be around are diminishing and they're having to go to more kind of far-fetched like places to kind of, you know, show that he's a bad guy.
Yeah. And because he's another person with no like genuine connections on the square, really. Like, obviously, he should be kind of more embedded into the Taylor family, but like he's distanced himself. And then they built up this relationship with Whitney as like a way to kind of tie him in. But really, like he's someone that doesn't fit. So like the way it's always quite precarious, like every storyline they try and kind of work in with him.
Well, I think you're forgetting he is Phil Mitchell's number one lawyer.
Has he done any jobs for Phil in a little while? I feel like that's just sort of like disappeared.
Well, it disappeared as soon as Shirley disappeared.
That was the connect.
That was the connection. And you were a bit like, well, that's not really how it works, right? Like, you know, if Phil has taken him on, it should be the case,
yeah,
regardless of Shirley. And also, on which note, when is Shirley coming back?
Where is Shirley? I've forgotten.
Well, the only thing I can think of is I still think Tina's alive.
Oh my God, you're such a conspiracy theorist.
She's hanging out with Princess Diana and Tupac and Elvis, and they're all on an island having a good time. No, but I still think there's a decent chance that Shirley comes back with Tina.
Wow. Wow. I mean, I disagree, but I think our current record on predictions, you're doing a lot better than me. So maybe I'm wrong. But like, I really, really thoroughly think Tina is dead.
Okay. Well, okay. Look, how about we talk about Carters that are alive then?
All right, then. Let's talk about the Carters.
Let's do it.
Quite heartwarming again this week.
Yeah, it was. It was. And I think, you know, I'm so glad that Frankie is becoming so embedded.
Yeah.
I can't imagine. Like, I'm increasingly getting to the point where, you know, I can't imagine her not being around. And I very much tie her to, you know, Mick and Linda, which I think is a good place for a character to be. Because my worry was is that she would come back, but she would kind of be like, you know, Ben's best mate and Callum's friend. And,
yeah,
you know, she would have a little bit of interaction with Mick and Linda. But, you know, maybe she ends up leaving the Vic at some point, but that's fine. But I like the fact that she's like come back and she's living at the Vic.
Yeah, I'm enjoying it. And I just can't wait for Nancy to get back.
Oh, God. Yeah. Right. Like maybe Nancy comes back with Shirley and
Tina. Oh, my God. No. They've all been in New Zealand together.
Hey, look, you know, if it happens, you won't be, you know, you'll realize that I'm just good at this.
Did you enjoy the driving lesson scene, particularly with the traffic warden?
I did. Can I just check something? Because, you know, I have this habit of just missing stuff entirely. Is it the case that Frankie can actually drive?
I don't really know. I thought she couldn't drive. I think maybe she can drive, but she hasn't got her license yet. She did say she couldn't drive, though.
Yeah, but I see what I've got in my head, and I wonder if there was a scene that actually made it explicit, but that she just wanted to spend time with her dad and doing a dad thing, like, you know, your dad teaching you to drive, and so she just pretended that she doesn't have a license.
Oh, right, yeah, maybe that's what was happening.
Well, I don't know, but then if you didn't, like, neither of us kind of saw that, like, explicitly happen, so it's just a guess, but
I guess we'll find out, like, if he keeps giving her driving lessons or not.
Yeah, because I can just imagine it being a scene where eventually, like, he finds her license, like, and he realizes that she just wanted to hang out with him.
But then I feel like the storyline of the week was resolved. Like, the storyline was that Frankie felt rejected because Mick wasn't able to publicly acknowledge her as his daughter. And then she realized that, like, the reason that he wasn't able to, like, go all the way and be present as a father is because he hasn't got through this, like, horrible trial with Katie, and he's not supported right enough in that. And, like, that was the storyline. So I feel like it'd be weird for them to then, like, add on, oh, and also she was lying about the driving.
Well, it'd be weird to add it on now, as you say, now the week is complete. And I, you know, you pointing to, you know, that being the storyline for the week, like, I think is like, it was a really lovely storyline. But can we talk about them using that random couple in the pub to help them get there?
Yeah, what was that about? Was that like Frankie's school bully?
Yeah, who tracked her down, hung out in the pub for hours. Then when Frankie got back, hung out for a bit longer.
Really intense, like, levels of planning and effort there.
Yeah, and not something somebody would do, I'm sorry.
No, yeah, really bizarre. I mean, there was a little bit of that this week in, like, quite a few storylines. There was just, like, really odd things kind of, like, shoved into, like, storylines. Yeah. Very, very, very weird.
Right. You were a bit like, okay, you know what? You have to move certain storylines forward. So you add in a certain thing here and there. But that for me, like, was a little bit like, you know, I like the Frankie and Mick scenes, but you probably could have got there without that couple. Like, for example, like, I found the traffic warden, like, his kind of, you know, his part of the storyline was pretty funny. But those two is a bit like, just really weird.
Yeah, I think they were trying to do too much. Like, it was quite convoluted. Is they because all they really needed was to have someone like gossip in the pub in a way that was upsetting. That's all they needed. But then they tried to go a step further and also have this kind of like bullying element in. So then there's the aspect of like Mick hasn't been around for her childhood and he hasn't been able to like support her through the bullying. And then also that we get to see like Frankie being fiery back to her ex-bully. And it was just like, you're trying to do too much here and it's not working.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And maybe this is what we're going to see for the next few weeks is like, you know, them adjusting to each other and we'll get more scenes like that. I think ultimately, though, because they're both very good and because we know Nancy's coming on the scene soon, like, I don't mind a few more scenes like that. Just make them a bit more believable.
Yeah. Yeah. That would be great. What do you make of the scene with Stuart as well?
Yeah, good. I was a little bit worried that they were going to go down a road of like, Stuart is still going to want to, like, you know, kidnap Frankie and throw her in the sea. But I'm glad they've moved past that.
I'm glad they have. And I think like he gave her some, because I was a little bit like, I was getting a bit frustrated with Frankie that like, I was just being like, why? Like, I just felt like she should have been a bit more sensitive about Mick and his situation. I was like, you're being a little bit of a brat, to be honest. Like constantly like prioritizing your own feelings, you know, for someone who's like going through a trial for childhood abuse. So it was like nice to have Stuart give her that little wake up call.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. I will give Frankie more allowance just because that's her mom. That's her mom.
Yeah, it's definitely like it's terrible for her. It's awful for everyone. Right. But like there was just a few scenes where I was like, can you not just be a little bit more sympathetic towards Mick and not like fly off the handle like every little thing? But anyway, it was like, it's fine. It's fine. It was just like, if that had carried on, I think it would have irritated me, especially because it's that thing where like, you know, Frankie is 30. She's not a child. She's not a teenager. But I thought it worked quite well, like Stuart giving her that kind of grounding advice. Also, I think it's kind of really funny that Stuart's just like nominated him as like Mick's sort of like distant guardian angel.
Yeah, I know. I know. I mean, that's been Stuart's vibe for quite a long time, but it's kind of weird how despite what Stuart did to that whole family, they've kind of allowed him to assume that role a little bit as well.
Yeah, like they just kind of let him get on with it, don't they? It's like they're not friends, they're also not enemies. They're also kind of like seem to be relatively fine with Stuart, just like every now and then intervening in their life.
Yeah, and I think it's kind of realistic in that like you sometimes do have these people around your life where occasionally they, you know, they overstep the mark, but you also kind of have got a kind of, you feel like a kind of caring responsibility towards them, or at least a kind of, yeah, some kind of responsibility towards them. So you allow them to like stay within your orbit, but are careful to not let them get too close.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's where they're at.
Just on the Frankie and Mick stuff again, obviously we found out from a scene that Mick had with one of the police officers that more victims have come forward. So do you think it's the storyline that's going to come to the fore again?
I think they're going to get a conviction. Yeah. I think they're going to make it a kind of like good news storyline. They're going to go through the trial. Frankie's DNA will convict her.
Yeah. Yeah. It will be interesting to see what they do with it, whether they will kind of, as you say, make it realistic. And obviously the realistic thing would be it's not plain sailing, or they do a kind of neat little bow and everybody was lovely. I, you know, to give EastEnders some credit, I don't think they're going to make it too neat. But I don't know what kind of research they've done.
Yeah. I mean, they normally are quite responsible with these stories. Like I imagine they've worked with whatever, like charities and experts and stuff.
Right.
But I think like in a way it's quite neat and tidy, like having Frankie just give her DNA because it is just irrefutable evidence. So like it's quite, you know, although I'm sure it's not necessarily like the most common way that these trials get resolved, it is quite a nice way to just kind of like get it resolved and move on.
Yeah, as you say, I think in this case, like, yeah, you're not going to get any stronger evidence than that. So
yeah,
you know, well, let's move into something a bit happier and talk about Sharon's new gym business.
Yes. Right, I'm excited about Sharon opening the gym, but I have to say I was briefly much more excited about Sharon becoming a personal trainer.
I was like, fair play. And like, obviously Peter did his little dig because that's who bloody Peter is. But I was really into the idea of like Sharon having a little personal trainer business.
Yeah, that would be nice. You know, I think it could be like a really good trajectory for Sharon, like getting fit, like getting in touch with her body, running a whole, I mean, obviously she is going to run a whole new business anyway, but yeah, I'm a little bit disappointed that she's not actually going to be like doing that side of it.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, ultimately the biggest disappointment is that Peter is going to be working with Sharon.
That is a real shame.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing with Peter is that like, he doesn't have chemistry with anyone. Like, it doesn't matter who it is, you know, because you'd think that like Sharon, you can kind of pair Sharon up with anyone and it'll be interesting for different reasons, like maybe apart from Peter.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And I don't know if this is part of a storyline for when Ian comes back, like Peter and Sharon are best friends and running this successful business and it's going to rub Ian's nose into it, but it's not worth it.
Just please tell me that they're not going to have an affair.
Well, I don't think so, but what do you think to something going on between Kira and Sharon?
I've seen some speculation on Twitter about that, you know, because obviously, like, he was quite lenient with her this week. He didn't have to, like, let her get the gym. So, you know, it could happen, I guess.
Yeah, exactly.
I don't know how I feel about it.
I don't know. I kind of like the idea of, like, Kira just having these one-night stands, but in a non-problematic way, like, across the square.
Yeah, that would be more enjoyable. I think I'm not really ready to see, like, another Sharon age difference, like, affair.
No.
But, yeah, maybe if they just, like, got it on one time and it was fine and that was the end of that, like, that'd be pretty fun.
Well, exactly, right. And, you know, obviously, I kind of, you know, I want storylines that mean that Kira has got a place on the square, but that doesn't have to be a relationship. And he had that one-night stand with Stacey. It wasn't a problematic thing. Like, it wasn't an exploitative thing. It wasn't you know, it was just a nice thing. And maybe you can have a nice thing with Sharon.
I quite like him to have an affair with Ben.
Would you?
Maybe just because I'm sick of Balaam.
Well, sure. That would upset a lot of people.
Yeah, it would. It'd be an insane thing to do. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
But quite excited for the new era of Sharon owning the gym that already existed.
I mean, obviously, I'm a bit like, sorry, what is this building? And as you say, the fact that it's existed already. And
don't fully understand where it is exactly.
No, nor me. But in terms of adding a new business onto the square, a gym actually makes quite a lot of sense.
It does make a lot of sense. Peter was correct when he said the money is in fitness at the moment.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, looking forward to seeing, you know, Kim having a gossip with Karen on the treadmills.
Oh my God, absolutely. If only they'd had Kim run the gym with Karen, with Sharon.
Oh, that is the pairing we all want to see.
Yeah, that is what I want. Yeah, well, on the topic of Kim, we saw quite a bit of Kim and her dating business this week.
Yeah, which I thought was... it was done, but
I thought it was done. Yeah,
yeah. Looks like it's taken on a whole new stage of development,
taking it to new levels. So she spent most of the week with this like reporter who seems to have a lot of time on his hands. And her main focus was Ikra and Mila, who now seem to be in like a steady relationship.
Are they in a? Okay, is this a steady relationship? Is that what we're calling this?
I mean, maybe like this week was us seeing them get into a steady relationship. I was a bit like thrown when Kim sat down with them and was like, oh, you're all loved up now, like blah, blah, blah. And it was like, are they? Because I feel like we haven't even seen them. Obviously, we haven't seen any of this. So it's quite like out of the blue.
Yeah, it is out of the blue. It is out of the blue. I guess the question is, okay, putting aside whether I think it's steady or not, are you into it?
I'm into Mila. Yeah.
So that's you're saying something by omission there. What are your thoughts on Ikra?
I mean, you know my thoughts on Ikra. I've been saying for a long time that I just think Ikra is a terrible person. But like, Yeah, I mean, I'm glad that they've gone somewhere with Ikra's character. I was a bit worried they were just going to kind of like get rid of her and it would be a kind of like a failed attempt at a character, basically. So I'm like glad they've gone down this route. I'm still just like struggling to engage with Ikra as a person. I still feel like I don't understand who she is and what she's interested in. Like, I just don't feel like she's got that much of a personality apart from being like a little bit boring and a little bit frosty. Mila already just seems quite like fun and interesting, even though obviously we haven't seen that much of her. So like maybe she'll balance that out. I don't know.
Well, yeah, I think we're both in agreement. And I was a little bit hesitant about Mila at the beginning, but actually I think now she's been given a bit of a storyline. I actually think she's quite good to have around. The thing is with Ikra, I think they've done a bit of a number on her in that I actually think she's a decent actor, but she's being let down by scripts that are very one-dimensional. And I genuinely think she could have some potential, but it's possibly too late for her.
Well, like, who is she? Have they given us anything to indicate that she's got like a sort of core, like, set of characteristics?
Well, but fundamentally, I think the biggest failing when it comes to her character development is that they introduced her as somebody escaping her family, and they did nothing to, you know, flesh that out. Like, we got the story, and that was interesting. And look, maybe because Mila's in a similar situation, they're like, oh, shit, yeah, that's why we brought Ikra in. Let's revisit that by bringing in Mila. I worry, though, it's just too late.
Yeah, I worry it's a little bit too late because they really would have to like reach quite far back in time to like bring us back to that storyline, which they only really ran for a few weeks. It was like, oh yeah, Ikra's leaving this family. She hasn't come out to them yet and it's going to be problematic when she comes out. And then they kind of neutralized it in her when she just came out to her grandparents and they were like kind of okay with it.
I think they screwed it up. And also think about, look, you know, I would obviously like a lot of, you know, fans particularly of like Our Age would love it if like Saeed came back. And can you imagine that though? Because they're the same family, right? Like they're from the same family.
Yeah. I guess they would be like cousins or something.
Right. So there's a storyline there. There's Ikra's own storyline with her immediate family. Like there was stuff they could have done. They left it so long and then obviously they got, you know, hit by the pandemic. Fine. But, you know, Ash, like, they left her around for a while, but then they gave her a family around her, while Ikra's entire family, including her sister, have gone.
Yeah. I mean, maybe they will use this to kind of, like, bring back Ikra's experiences of her family. Maybe, like, they could even bring some of her family onto the square that we haven't met yet. Or, yeah, I don't know, maybe that will, like, help her process some of that stuff. And, like, in the process of that, let us know a little bit more about who she is.
Yeah, I don't think, you know, I think all of these things are fixable. I just don't see any desire on the writer's part to do that. And so I think her days are numbered.
I kind of worry as well that with Mila, they're doing the same thing and that they're going to introduce this storyline of her not being out to her family. And like she was very, very fearful about it as well. So it's like even seemed like to the point of, is she in danger? And obviously like we got that quite horrendous backstory from her.
Right.
So like, yeah, I guess I worry a little bit they're gonna kind of do the same thing of like we have a couple of weeks or something of like talking about that and then it just disappears.
Yeah, and the worry is they're literally just doing it as a way to bring them closer to one another, but not with a view to kind of bringing in any of her family or any of the kind of storyline around it. So let's see. I mean, EastEnders, when it comes to lesbian like relationships, are really bad. And I worry this is just another one where it will have its moment in the spotlight for a few weeks and then just go to shit.
Fingers crossed that we're wrong. Something I was interested in that I couldn't find out and actually, to be honest, felt a little bit invasive, like even researching it, is how many of the LGBT characters at the moment on screen are played by straight actors? Because obviously we know like both Ben and Callum played by straight actors. Bernie is played by a straight actor, or at least an actor with an opposite sex partner.
Right.
So I don't know. I just found myself wondering today and kind of like Googling a little bit to see if I could find out whether the actors who play Ikra and Mila are straight or not. I don't think like they're on under any obligation to make that information public at all. But it is interesting to me.
Don't worry, nobody's going to accuse you of having gone through their bins unless that's what you're planning on doing. It's this weird thing, right? Like, I've got so much respect for the kind of young generation who kind of speak about being queer. Like, they don't, you know, they really embrace the idea of, like, you know, fluid sexual identity. I guess the only issue I've got with that is that it then makes it easy to, you know, for programs like EastEnders to defend itself when it's accused of saying, well, you know, maybe you could have actually given this role to like a gay actor, because then they can be a bit like, well, we don't know, like, you know, everybody is kind of like on this spectrum and all the rest of it and stuff. And it's a bit like, but
I feel like,
you know,
they haven't even got that far though, have they?
No, like, exactly. Right. And I think particularly when they're doing queer characters of color who will experience, like, you know, situations maybe a bit differently, not always differently, but sometimes a bit differently, you're a bit like, okay, you have a bit of a responsibility now to, like, maybe try and, like, make sure that if there are any actors that you could bring in who could kind of bring in some, like, you know, draw on some personal experience, then, you know, maybe you should do that.
Yeah, they definitely should do that. And, hey, like, maybe the actors who play Ikra and Mila, like, maybe they are gay, I don't know, but, like, yeah, something EastEnders should think about branching out to do.
Yeah, what, you know, go on, give it a go, EastEnders.
Go on. So talking of dating.
Oh, yeah.
We've got to talk about Bobby.
Oh, my God. Also, just by the way, if Ikra goes, Bobby will be the only Muslim character on the square, so...
maybe that's why they didn't get rid of her. Like, maybe they just realised we only have one Muslim left on the square and he's going to be a white boy.
Yeah, so. Right. And it's the East End of London. So, you know, that would be a problem. But but Bobby went on his date.
Yeah, he did. It was almost unwatchable for me. I honestly couldn't handle the levels of cringe and awkwardness.
I found it cringy, but also just really funny.
It's just so stressful. I was like, what is going on? And he also was like, he hasn't obviously like mastered his confident character yet. So it was like this guy kind of trying to be a businessman. And also just being like incredibly awkward at the same time.
I think the real limitation for me is that, yes, like you've got the awkwardness of Bobby, but also like the fact that, I don't know, like, well, you know, we talked about it with Whitney earlier, but can they not film like anywhere but the square? Because if you're going to assume this like entirely new identity, why are you going to Ruby's?
Right. Yeah. Well, I guess like he was doing that thing of like people know him. So he was trying to look important.
People know you went to prison for killing your sister as well.
Exactly. Yeah, it's not a smart move. Also, like, presumably they're on the square. So, like, every person who walks into Ruby's knows Ruby. Like, everyone knows everyone. It's not impressive in Warford to be known.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to put that sentence on a t-shirt. It's not impressive. To be known on the square. Yeah, it's true. It is very true.
Were you disappointed that he didn't take Chelsea on a date this week?
You know, as you say, he needs to get his character down.
He's just practicing for the ultimate date with Chelsea.
That's when you're going to see the real, you know, big, the big character comes out of Bobby there.
Wow. I'm quite into the glasses. I will say that.
Is that the best Bobby's going to get from you?
I mean, I just find it so stressful to watch, honestly. Like, and he plays it really well. That's why it's so stressful to watch. But it's like, it's awkward beyond the level that I can cope with.
Yeah, and it's awkward beyond what, you know, an awkward teenage boy would do. But it is within that kind of sense of like, yeah, somebody trying to be a bit more impressive than they are. And that's very like, of his age
and of his family
and also I'm just very grateful that, like, not, you know, there are some young people who are a bit awkward and not confident. Like, obviously it reminds me of the scenes of like Bernie when she was kind of going all through that stuff with Tiffany as well, and more of that, please.
Yeah, back in the days of like teenage Jamie and Martin as well, they were quite awkward.
Right, exactly. So, you know, people want relatable characters, please.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited to see where new Bobby goes with this, or Rob, as he's now called.
Yeah, yeah.
Such a difference, isn't it? Bobby to Rob. Wow.
I mean, they say the best lies are the ones that like are like the closest to the truth, right? Like, if you're going to create a lie, don't make it too outlandish.
Yeah, fair enough. Fair enough. I think he's gone quite outlandish so far.
True,
already,
that is true.
Yeah. So the last thing that we haven't discussed, because although it seems like quite an important storyline, we only really got a few scenes of it, and that was Vinny and his gold bars.
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, I barely remember what happened. You're going to have to remind me.
Vinny is trying to sell the gold bars, I think, to make money for the family, and now Kira has suggested melting them down and mixing them with something that's not gold to make more gold bars, to make more money. And I think Ben wants a cut.
Fine, go for it.
Yeah. And Kira originally was like, this is a stupid idea because we're going to have Staz and the police after us. But then Suki was like, come on, let your brother do his thing.
Yeah, it's a bit of filler. Like, I don't object to it. Like, I'm not actively against it. And I think it's part of a storyline which I'm kind of finding quite fun anyway.
Yeah.
So the reason I think I barely remembered it is because I wasn't really bothered. But so I don't really have anything to say about it. But also I'm not upset that it happened.
Yeah, it was fine. I don't really get it. Like, the whole gold bars thing is really like confusing to me. I'm like, how are you going to sell these? Like, who wants gold bars? I'm sure people do want gold bars. I just, like, the exposition hasn't been enough for me.
No, I think, yeah, it's assuming quite a lot on the part of the viewer. but I think there are viewers who will be like, this is very accurate. So, you know, it's for them.
Yeah, okay. If you know about gold bars and organized crime, please get in touch and let us know on getoutofmypod@gmail.com or on Twitter @getoutofmypod.
Do it. We want some gold bar discourse.
Please. I think we've covered all the storylines now.
Way.
So it's time for you to tell me now. Who is your Eastender of the week?
Well, oof, this is tough. I wonder if we're going to have the same person.
Oh my God.
But it's got to be Lily, right?
Yes. For the first time ever, we've got the same EastEnder of the week.
We do.
How has that happened? Like, it's literally been so long of recording this podcast.
I think when somebody is good, like the stars align, and it was just going to happen this week. And yeah. I think, like, I don't want to say like a star was born this week, because we got Lily like in previous weeks, and we kind of got a sense that there is something really good about this actor, but she blossomed this week.
I think she's very special. I think she's kind of the best child actor we've had on EastEnders since Maisie Smith.
Yeah, it's always a worry, right, when you kind of see that, because you're a bit like, are they gonna go on to something else? But then, you know, Tiffany came back.
Exactly. Yeah, loyal. Yeah, I loved seeing Lily this week. I'm a little bit disappointed that she's now moved out of the house with Jean, because I really liked seeing them two together. And I hope that, like, that's not kind of the end of that connection.
Yeah, I hope not. And also, it genuinely upset me so much, that scene of Jean just collapsing in the kitchen in that house basically by herself.
That was so sad. I was like, what the hell are Mo and Kat doing?
Well, Mo is leaving and moving to Spain. And Kat is obviously loved up with Phil.
Aren't they pitching just like a little bit, though?
I mean, Mo did pitch in with Thin Cilla.
True, yeah. Yeah, Mo's done her bit.
But Kat has done nothing.
Kat is quite uncharacteristic of Kat to, like, really not give a shit about Stacey going to prison. Like, you'd think she'd be, like, quite upset about it.
I think basically this is a victim of the COVID filming, because obviously they have the Kat and Phil storyline, and maybe because of that they couldn't have Kat involved in any other storylines.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, we could have at least had like Kat being sad about it and maybe like seeking comfort from Phil rather than this sort of like wedding seating plan.
The potato scene, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, to be honest. Like, well, you know, let's move it back to the positive place we were in, which is that Lily is amazing.
Yes.
And yeah, fingers crossed we get to see more of her.
Yeah, I think so far she's like filling the gap that will be left by Stacey incredibly well.
Well, yeah. I mean, what I've heard, though, is that apparently Lacey Turner is back to filming already.
God, wow. So she only took a few months off.
Yeah. So I think, I don't know if she, I think in the past, what she's done is had her mat leave, come back for a month.
Yeah.
To do some, you know, scenes and create a whole new storyline, and then leave and come back again.
Ooh, okay, interesting.
Yes. So
interesting.
We will see. I would ask you the question, but I think we can just move on to our predictions now.
Let's move on to our predictions. I haven't thought of a prediction yet.
Neither have I, and usually I have my notes in front of me, but because of a computer issue, I lost them. So I'm going to just, you know, try and go into the depths of my mind and figure out what I think is going to be happening on EastEnders next week. And what I'm going to say is that Gray is going to get Whitney. No, okay, no, you know what? Okay, yes. Okay, here we go. Here we go. Are you ready?
Yes.
Woo, this is big. No, it's not big at all. Yeah, Gray is going to get Kush to break up with Whitney.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
That's so bad.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen.
I think this is what he's going to try and do. And I think he's probably going to be successful. Maybe not successful, like, you know, permanently. Like, they'll probably end up getting back together. And maybe Whitney will find out what Gray did, and that will be part of his comeuppance. But yeah, that's what I think is going to happen next week.
So depressing. Okay.
Well, you know, is what it is. Are you ready now with your prediction?
Yeah, I've got a prediction. It's just come to me out of nowhere.
Go on.
I think Kira is going to get involved with managing the gym with Sharon, and it's going to lead to tension between Kira and Peter, which will play in nicely to the Ash, Suki, Peter situation.
Very interesting. You know what? Also, I completely forgot about Peter and Kira's connection as well.
Yeah. What, like through Suki?
Well, but wasn't there a whole thing as well when it was like who attacked, through Suki, but like attacked Ian, and they did something together, right?
Yeah, the completely still unexplained scene of Peter and Kira doing something in a van, and then there being blood in that van. Never been explained.
Well, you know, guess we'll find out in the gym.
Maybe we will finally find out in the gym.
Well, there we go. I think we've wrapped up another episode.
We have. Yeah. If you want to like tell us what you thought about it, or like where in the world you're listening from, you can email us on getoutofmypod@gmail.com, or you can tweet us and at getoutofmypod on Twitter.
Do it. Do it. Yeah. Very exciting to see all the places that people are listening from, and long may it continue.
Yes, please. All right. Well, we'll be back next week.
We will. Tune in next week.
Bye.
Bye.